When money belongs to governments, eventually it stops belonging to you. Bitcoin wrapped in legacy finance is not Bitcoin. It's the same cage, different branding. Bitcoin doesn't protect you from yourself. It gives you power, but then it steps back. What my father passed down onto me was not wealth. It was the ability to survive broken systems. Bitcoin doesn't reset. The rules don't change. I never expected to live this story myself. And then in 2019, Lebanon happened.
Welcome to the stage with a big round of applause, Tony Yazbek. Please give it up.
Hello again, Prague. How's everybody doing? Last year, I stood on this stage and I spoke about collapse, about what happens when the system fails, about what it feels like to lose everything overnight and discover that the rules were never meant to protect you. Today, I'm not here to talk about collapse. I'm here to talk about what comes next, about what survives. But first, let me take you back further with a story about my father. I grew up watching a man build everything three times, not because he failed, but because the world kept taking it away from him. The first time was in Lebanon. He had a life there, a small business, stability, and a future. Then the civil war broke out. The banks closed, institutions collapsed, the money disappeared. Everything he had worked for simply ceased to exist. So we left. And he started again. The second time was in Madagascar. Years of rebuilding, discipline, long days and long nights. Then one decision by yet another corrupt government. Nationalization, confiscation, everything taken. So we left, and he started again. The third time was in Kuwait. And just when things started to feel stable again, Iraq invaded. And once more, everything was stolen. Three lives, three resets, three times starting from zero. As a child, I thought we were simply unlucky. But as an adult, I understood something far more disturbing. This was not bad luck. This was the system working exactly as designed. Because when money belongs to governments, eventually it stops belonging to you. And what haunted me the most was not the money. It was this question: how does a man lose everything three times and still leave something behind? Because you see, despite all of this, my father was never broken. He never became bitter. He never blamed the world, and he never waited for permission to rebuild. Each time, he carried the same things forward: skills, judgment, discipline, and responsibility. There were no bailouts, there was no safety net, and certainly no one absorbing his losses for him. He paid the price, and he moved forward anyhow. What my father passed down onto me was not wealth. It was the ability to survive broken systems. At the time, I thought this was just a family story. I had no idea it was training. I never expected to live this story myself. And then in 2019, Lebanon happened. The banks confiscated our accounts and the government shrugged as millions of doctors, farmers, parents, teachers watched their entire life savings disappear. Now it was me standing in a bank line surrounded by folks that have done everything right. And we were all told the same thing. Sorry, there is nothing we can do. And so in a single moment, everything I had built disappeared. Confiscated, erased, with zero recourse. And in that moment, I understood my father. Not intellectually, but existentially. I was standing exactly where he had stood, and something inside of me snapped. Because the most dangerous lie we're ever told is that responsibility belongs somewhere else. That if you work hard, follow the rules, someone will protect you. They won't. That realization led me to Bitcoin. Not as an investment or speculation, but as a system that finally matched reality. Money is no longer bound to the state. It no longer needs to obey it. Again, money is no longer bound to the state. It no longer needs to obey it. So I started again. Bitcoin didn't promise comfort, rescue, or ease. It offered something far more honest: ownership, finality, responsibility, and consequences. Some people say Bitcoin is unforgiving. So was reality for my father. Others say it has no safety net. Neither did he. And some people say Bitcoin demands competence. So does rebuilding your life three times. Bitcoin did not invent discipline. It made it unavoidable. Long before Bitcoin existed, men like my father lived on hard money principles without calling it that. Work mattered, promises mattered, mistakes were paid for, and no one pretended otherwise. Fiat money destroyed all of that. Fiat replaced responsibility with excuses, consequences with inflation, truth with narratives. Bitcoin ends that. And that's why it may feel uncomfortable. Because Bitcoin doesn't protect you from yourself. It gives you power, but then it steps back. And that silence is terrifying. Because silence means accountability. And that is something modern systems have trained us to avoid. Bitcoin isn't cruel. It's precise. And that precision exposes who is prepared and who is hiding behind the noise. That is the difference between fragility and resilience. And this is what Bitcoin quietly teaches. Not how to win quickly, but how to endure. For the first time in history, ordinary people can choose their money. My father never had that choice. He had to survive the system he was given. We don't. And that makes us dangerous. And it makes us responsible. We are no longer just users of Bitcoin. We are the first generation that gets to decide what it becomes. Ancestors. Take a moment and think of someone who helped shape you. Someone whose example still guides you. Someone who stood strong when things got tough. They're not watching this moment, but someone else is. And just as their choices helped shape you, your choices are shaping someone you may never meet. What we normalize now becomes tradition later. And what we compromise today becomes expectation tomorrow. This isn't theoretical. Bitcoin doesn't reset. The rules don't change. What we build here today doesn't disappear. It carries forward. And history will remember whether we treated this as responsibility or as convenience. Over the past years, governments have changed their tone about Bitcoin. First, they mocked it. Then, they tried to ban it. And then, they tried to regulate it into submission. And now, they're doing something far more dangerous. They're trying to absorb it. Because when a system cannot destroy a threat, it tries to turn it into a product. It rebrands it, it repackages it, and it sells it back to you as convenience. Bitcoin wrapped in legacy finance is not Bitcoin. It's the same cage, different branding. Nothing has changed. They want you to believe that Bitcoin is safe now because they're involved. They want you to believe that custody is a service, that convenience is progress. But safety offered by the same system that failed repeatedly is not safety. It's a trap. And this only works if we allow it, if we continue to choose it. Because the greatest threat to Bitcoin is no longer governments. It's us. And I know that's uncomfortable. It should be. Because comfort is exactly what broke the system we're trying to escape. Speculators who never learn how it works. Companies building and rebuilding custodial cages using Bitcoin branding. People who want freedom without responsibility. Self-custody is not a slogan. It's a responsibility. Verification is not optional. It is the price of sovereignty. Using Bitcoin as money is not optional. It's the entire point. Bitcoin's adoption is not about price. It's about competence. Competence that looks like this. It's a quiet Sunday afternoon. Your phone is off. There are no notifications. You quietly write down 12 words on a piece of paper. You don't rush. You check them twice. Nobody is watching. And in that quiet moment, something extraordinary happens. For the first time in history, an ordinary person becomes their own bank. This is how legacy is built. Not through hype or narratives, but through skills passed forward. My father left me something much harder than money. The ability to survive theft without becoming small. The ability to rebuild without hatred. And the ability to carry responsibility instead of outsourcing it. Bitcoin gave me the tools to make that inheritance explicit, to turn survival into sovereignty. And now that responsibility is ours. Because one day, someone will tell your story. A child, a friend, someone watching how you respond to this moment. They will not remember the price. They certainly will not remember the charts. But they will remember whether you stood up, whether you learned, whether you took responsibility when it was easier not to. That is the type of person whose legacy survives collapse. Become that person. Because Bitcoin doesn't just change the money. It changes what we pass on. And what we pass on becomes the future. Choose carefully. If this resonates, and if you're ready to stop outsourcing your future, come find me at the Bitcoin Way booth right after this. We don't sell lies, risk, and promises. We teach sovereignty. We teach responsibility. And we'll make sure you get this right the first time. Thank you very much.